Welcome to Fired Up California, where we are calling out the Golden State's descent into liberal madness, because it's always a three-ring circus here. First, AB 379 could have locked up predators buying sex from teens, but progressive Democrats gutted it, leading Sheriff Jim Cooper roaring, quote, "Protect our kids," unquote. While the left hides behind their so-called reform, or is it simply protecting pedophiles who may or may not be friends, allies, and maybe even donors, but who knows? Then, Ashley Babbitt's family finally gets a settlement from their $35 million lawsuit for her January 6th murder. A patriot shot down. But where's the real justice for her sacrifice? And Daryl Issa's fighting California's glacial vote counting because the month account balance screams fraud to any patriot who values fair elections. So grab your lotion. No, Scott Wiener, not that kind of lotion. Because this SoCal conservative Latino is exposing California's mess with a conservative lens. Let's get to it. California's child protection clash, the AB 379 sex trafficking debate heats up. Kudos to the Times of San Diego, Sheriff Cooper himself, and Cal Matters, where I gathered a lot of this information outside of some phone calls made. So let's talk about a legislative battle to protect minors. The California Assembly in early 2025 debated Assembly Bill 379. Technically, it's AB 379, and it's aimed at combating sex trafficking by targeting buyers of commercial sex, especially or specifically those exploiting minors. You know, the one that Scott Wiener seems to always want to protect with previous bills. Not the minors, but those going after them. This bill was authored by Assemblymember Maggie Krell, a Democrat from Sacramento, and the bill initially sought to make it a felony to buy sex from 16 and 17-year-olds while creating a fund to support trafficking victims. Now, this bill's journey through the legislature, it's marked with obviously intense debates, showcased deep divisions over child protection, those who want to protect it from those who don't. I mean, that's what it boils down to, people. Criminal justice reform and political accountability. Oh, yeah. These Democrats will pay in 2026 for protecting those who want to prey on minors. So the initial support and advancement. So this past April, late April, last week, AB 379 named the Survivor Support and Demand Reduction Act. I quote, Survivor Support and Demand Reduction Act. That's what it was called. It was passed by the Assembly's Public Safety Committee with a 6-0 vote with two abstentions. How can you abstain from this bill? We know. We know. It aimed to criminalize loitering with intent to purchase commercial sex, impose felony charges for soliciting 16 and 17-year-olds, and establish a fund for trafficking victims using fines from convicted buyers. Look, it wouldn't even be tax dollars. Assemblywoman Krell, she's a former sex crimes prosecutor, and she's known for her work against the traffic website Backpage. We have talked about that whole debacle, which she meant well, but it actually attacked free speech because it wasn't exactly what they said it was. But regardless, it's interesting in my research to find out, oh, here's one of the Backpage people. We did a topic on that. But anyway, she's known for her work against the trafficking website Backpage. And she emphasized that the bill would empower law enforcement to intervene when individuals seek to buy victims for sex. Sounds pretty easy, pretty simple, doesn't it, my friends? So AB 379 was positioned as a countermeasure to Senate Bill 357, the Safer Streets for All Act, signed into law by Gavin Newsom in 2022. Now, SB 357, authored by guess who? Senator Scott Wiener, Democrat of San Francisco. It decriminalized loitering for prostitution. And that's a move Weiner argued was necessary because such laws disproportionately targeted black and brown women and LGBTQ individuals. Let me tell you something, black America, y para mi Latinos, for my Latinos, he's playing y'all. He's using us. So his industry, now this is my opinion, and I could be wrong, but I truly in my heart believe this man supports pedophilia. He supports, if not pedophilia, he supports the grooming of minors. You know, the guy who played Sulu in Star Trek, he made a post about this, and Milo, he used to be with Breitbart, I can't pronounce his last name, and gays I've talked to and experienced with, as my wife was did hair, so she, you know, that industry tends to have a lot of gay community members, and we didn't care, but I did notice a trend of grooming. And I just assumed, okay, there's a lot of young gay men who come out of the closet and they had nowhere to go. And these, me like an idiot, these people mentor them, you know, kind of sit there, hey, it's okay, you're with friends. What I didn't realize was the grooming sexually aspect of it. And that's who I think Scott Weiner's trying to protect, is that. And that's wrong. They ran Milo out for just being honest about it and talking about it. And Sulu deleted his comment, but it was on a Breitbart article. I remember seeing it, you know. So it's part of their culture, right or wrong. That's part of their culture. And if a gay man or woman, or a gay man's honest about it, he'll tell you as such, as they told, as Milo and even Sulu in a did not deleted a post kind of alluded to. So he wanted, so SB 357, authored by Senator Scott Weiner again. And it, well, let me back up. Everything I said, that's what I've experienced in talking to individuals in that community, being on social media, going into the cultural wars. So I'm not talking out to my tush, and I'm not alone in that sense of having seen that or been told that. Again, I remember going to my first gay wedding when my wife, she was invited because it was a couple of classes, coolest guys around, and a couple of others. So I had nothing against the gay community. God will judge us at the end. And I truly believe in my heart, do what as you please. Just don't bring it into the world of children. That's the big no-no. If you're an adult, that's the life you want, so be it. But not to the kids. There's a time and place where kids can learn about that as young adults and then make decisions once they're over 18 as the law allows. Not for you to go in there and start mentoring. And I think Scott Weiner is trying to protect, was protecting that with SB 357. He's protecting the dark side of that. Why? Everything I said is what I've seen and experienced. He wanted to decriminalize loitering for prostitution. And he used blacks and Latino women as the impetus to get this bill passed. He used those people. He freaking used us. Again, I don't care if you're gay, black, straight, Latino, or whatnot. My point is, he used us, our cultures, to get a terrible bill passed. And you're going to find out in a second why it's terrible. You know, his take is 56% of black adults accounted for loitering charges in L.A., despite compromising less than 8.9%. It's not our job to sit there and go, we got to protect you because you're black. If you're committing a crime, you get prosecuted like the white guy, Latino, the Asian, whoever. But he used you to protect his community and Latinos. So, you heard me in the intro talk about county sheriff, or about Jim Cooper, Sheriff Jim Cooper. He's a Sacramento County Sheriff, former legislature, or legislator, and a member of the California Legislative Black Caucus. He strongly supported AB 379. He argued that AB 357 had led to a dramatic explosion of juvenile prostitution statewide, negatively impacting small businesses and neighborhoods through blade activity, he says. And that's streets where sex workers, often minors, are bought and sold under the watch of traffickers, pimps. Now, this is a sheriff seeing this firsthand, Weiner. Maybe Wiener's afraid of being caught there. I don't know. I'm just saying. Not accusing. Just giving an example. But he's seeing this percent. He's in the trenches, in the war, at the front lines. He would know best. Black sheriff, seeing his own people. So, the rejection of some of the key provisions of AB 379. The California legislature, they removed the provision that would have made Democrats. Let's be clear. The Democrats removed the provision that would have made soliciting 16 and 17-year-olds a felony. Obviously prompting outrage from Sheriff Jim Cooper. Cooper took to social media to denounce this decision, stating that the bill had been, quote, hijacked, unquote, from Krell, with opponents accusing her and other, quote, high-level politicians, unquote, of spreading misinformation. So they removed her because she wouldn't budge on that. No, we're not going to remove that. Oh, really? No, 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 no. I got to protect my pedophile friends, my allies, my donors, maybe even my family members that are liberal. I don't know. But in my heart, that's what I believe. Why are you against this except to protect people of a certain segment of society? Pedophiles, groomers. So I'm not accusing them directly, but I'm saying in my heart that I'm like, I can logically connect the dots. There's no reason to be against this bill unless you have experience in that sector where you're like, ooh, we need to protect these people. Well, why would you need to protect those people? And the reasons you're giving are not adequate. They're excuses. Anyway, Cooper highlighted his agency's 17 open cases of juveniles being trafficked for sex and 7 minors rescued from the sex trade this past year alone. Now, don't tell me that's not urgent to protect these youth. Again, 17 open cases of juveniles being trafficked for sex and 7 minors rescued. Well, William, it's only 17. It's only 7 minors. Well, what if that was your little boy? Or your little girl? That's what irks me about America, especially leftists. When it's their cause, you know, every life has value. But then when they're trying to do these terrible deeds like this, it's only 17. Yeah. If one of those 17 was your kid, you'd be saying otherwise. Sometimes that's what it takes. It takes bad stuff happening to them before they wake up. So Cooper criticized the legislature for allowing sex buyers to continue exploiting children. And he's absolutely correct, calling the decision, quote, acceptable collateral damage, unquote. And emphatically declaring, quote, it's not, unquote. In other words, he's pissed like me. Look, you know, I'm not a saint, but I know this. My time on this earth is closer to the end than it is the beginning. And these youths are our future. And at this rate, our country will be taken over from within and then decay and become nothing. Corrupt. Seedy. You'll see our weapons sold. Nuclear sold. Our land sold. I mean, it will just become a cesspool. We'll become a dystopian society. That, it sounds like, damn, William, you don't have any faith. No. No, look what Democrats have done. I mean, just on a side note, 100 days into the fire, since the Palisades fire, they promised Gavin Newsom, who's running for president, and Karen Bass, mayor of L.A., promised to cut all the red tape, challenging Trump, saying, no, we're going to expedite everything. 12 permits for Palisades in 100 days. So, yes, this state is being destroyed. Here's the other one before I go on. The Democrat Party, who controls with a supermajority the legislature, will sit there and allow the utilities who have made billions in profits yearly to raise their rates on us instead of forcing them to dig all these power lines on the ground, use better technology so we don't have all these fires. Most fires are caused by utility equipment. So they'll protect them, but then they'll run off the insurance companies who we turn to for protection if there's a catastrophe. Where's the logic in that? That's who is running our state. Back-ass people. All right. So Cooper noted that he had raised similar concerns 3 years early in 2022 on that same legislative floor. He questioned how much more time lawmakers needed to act to protect the kids. So Democrats in the Assembly, they say, we're concerned about increasing prison sentences, but they're not concerned about the young child being raped or bopped. Criminal justice reform, got to protect the criminals. So they amended AB 379 to limit felony charges to cases involving minors under 16, keeping penalties for older teens as misdemeanors or discretionary felonies. Hey, I like that 16-year-old and he's pretending I won't go to jail as a felon now. Misdemeanor, come here, boy. That's what they're doing. Assembly Speaker Robert Rivas, makes you wonder. Robert, you got any pedophile friends? Is that what we're looking at here? Pedophile allies, family members, donors that you're protecting? Just asking. Now, why am I asking this, people? Because Rivas stripped Krell's name from the bill. He was punishing her, saying, you're not going to pay ball there, Miss Fellow Democrat. Then I got to remove you. So he added two minions, public safety chair Nick Schultz, a Democrat from Burbank. Oh man, the jokes I can make about him and kids in Hollywood and all that. And assembly member Stephanie Nguyen as co-authors. Schultz announced plans for informational hearings. So more hearings to delay the bill in the fall of 2025. We need to search out for more information. In the meantime, how many pedophiles are going to be going after kids? How many kids are going to fall prey to the people Schultz, Rivas, and the Democrat Party want to protect? Again, he's plans for, we need more informational hearings. We'll do that this fall. We are in May, just starting May. 5 months. He wants to address the issue further with the amended bill moving to the Assembly Appropriations Committee. So criminal justice advocates, aka it's okay if these prisoners rape and murder these kids, include Ann Irwin, director of Smart Justice California. How smart is that? She opposed the felony provision. Got to keep criminals on the street, man. What you talking about? Citing risk of unintended harm to minors. So here's their scenario where felony charges might disproportionately affect older teenagers in a consensual relationship, such as an 18-year-old high school senior offering a 17-year-old classmate $20 to fool around, or cases involving interracial or LGBTQ. Guys, whether high school or college, I never had to offer a chick $20 to fool around. So here's the issue. We should be very careful on a case-by-case basis when it's an 18-year-old, 17-year-old, like high school. You know, where maybe he was 17 when they were 16, they were dating. That happens a lot. But that's a far cry from an 18-year-old picking up a 16-year-old on the streets. You see, they're creating this scenario that doesn't exist, or statistically such an infinitesimal number that I've never heard of it. I've never heard somebody who's never heard of it. And I'm sure there's not a study that's been done that's not that's been properly done. And why do I say that? Well, the ACLU of Southern Cal sent a letter to Krell opposing AB 379, arguing that anti-loitering laws have historically been used disproportionately against people of color, LGBTQ individuals, and those in poverty under the guise of public safety. Look, that's probably true. You get lower incomes, get into that world. But it's not just that. Vietnamese girls being shipped here, Latino women being brought across the border. It has nothing to do with the color. It has everything to do with poverty. But they're trying to use this color as a race thing, as a culture thing. There are thousands, hundreds of thousands of white girls, too, that come from the trailer parks. But they conveniently leave that out. And those are the ones we do want to protect because we want to stop it. They want to allow it to continue, as Judge Cooper showed. So the ACLU is not about protecting anybody. They're about an ideological push. Look, the ACLU died about a generation ago. You could always count on them to protect First Amendment, Second Amendment. Now it's like, got to protect the plantation. We are new Democrat plantation members. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah, Democrat plantation. The ACLU's your battering ram. That's what they become. Scott Wiener, who, oh, my God. Think the worst scum of the earth when it comes to LGBTQ. And that's not a knock on LGBTQ, but that's a knock on those who hide behind that. And that's how I see Scott Wiener. He maintains that decriminalizing loitering was essential to protect marginalized communities. Really? Sheriff Cooper, who is black sheriff, who sees this on the front lines, is able to counter your lie of, got to protect the brown and the black. No, you're using that as an excuse to protect your friends, allies, and possibly donors. Hey, that's my opinion. I'm not saying I'm right, but that's kind of how I would speculate on it. Republicans accuse Democrats of siding with child predators. Hey, you think I'm in that boat? Yeah, you know I'm in that boat. So this is a narrative that Republicans, we push this over and over, Democrats siding with child predators, because it's true. The Democrats say, this is just a strategy to hurt us. Truth hurts, bitch. You're not going to get called to my credit here. He says, damn the torpedoes, I'm going to be the man if none of you have the cojones to be the man. You hear me, Brian Jones? Super nice guy. I love you to death. But I think Cardamale is not afraid to roll up the sleeves, get down and dirty, and make waves and take the hit. Damn decorum. Cardamale vowed to make Democrats pay politically for the amendment. Well, I hope the money he gets for Reform California actually goes to this versus what I've heard how it doesn't. So I will hold him to the fire on that sense. You know, I've been told a lot of the money doesn't make it to it, the actual programs he asked people to donate to. Hopefully this will, by making him pay, getting the word out there. He says he would work to ensure voters hold them accountable in the next election, as I'm doing to you guys. Spread this podcast around. He calls her decision a betrayal of public safety. You think, Carl? I would agree. So the controversy marks the second year in a row that Republicans have publicly criticized Democrats. There was a similar amendment last year by Senator Shannon Grove. I met her. She's a Republican out of Bakersfield. It made the solicitation of a 15-year-old a wobbler, meaning a misdemeanor or on the first offense. Or felony. It's either or, misdemeanor or felony, meaning, I guess, depending on the situation. The fact is, it should be a felony, period, in the story. Governor Newsom, he's running for president. Don't ignore everything else they're telling you. He's expressed support for treating all solicitations of minors as felonies. It wasn't like that back in 2022. But we'll take it. I mean, use him. If he wants to run for president, hold his feet to the fire. So what's the public reaction? And so what are the advocacy efforts? So following the amendment, social media platforms blew up law enforcement and conservative groups and moderate groups too, denouncing the legislature's actions as unconscionable, accusing progressive influences of derailing the bill and demanding accountability. While others supported the amendment, yeah, we're okay with pedophiles buying kids. Yeah, yeah, that's okay. That's okay. What's that? Yeah, here's my Democrat card. We got to protect the blacks and the Latinos. As a Latino, stop protecting us. You are killing us. And you think I'm kidding. The Sacramento Observer reported that there's a coalition of anti-trafficking organizations that are holding or held a rally. So that's good. A nonprofit Sawan Varen, he's Cash's executive director. We can, quote, we cannot allow the exploitation of our youth to continue under the guise of reform, unquote. Ain't that the truth? So Nick Schultz's planned information hearings will take place in September, featuring testimony from survivors. I used those $20. They did me good. Why do you want to punish me? That's who I expect Schultz to bring in. But we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he will bring in testimony from some actual survivors, law enforcement reform advocates who believe it should be a felony, should be sent to jail, but I doubt it. So Newsom, again, has publicly reiterated his stance. Quote, I believe all solicitation of minors should be a felony, period. We must protect our children, unquote. Again, he said, you know, the CalMatter says this is ongoing tensions with the Democrat Party. No, this is Newsom running for president. But since he's aligned with us on this one, hold his feet to the fire means he'll hold his party to the fire. And at the end of the day, you're going to see Democrats breaking off that are in purplish districts. Mark my words. Progressive Democrats, however, go to what I would consider a flawed data until I see all the data that came into that report, that felony charges for solicitation often disproportionately impact low-income and minority youth in unrelated consensual scenarios. So, okay, I take that back. I do believe that, but that's not a reason to not arrest those purchasing these people or those solicited. You're saving their lives. Get them help. You know, take them off the street. That way you don't have a needle. Dying of a needle like one Democrat donor. Who was that Democrat donor? I have that in my notes. Hold on. I found it. Ed Buck, a political donor who was convicted for drug-related crimes that led to the deaths of two black men in his West Hollywood apartment. Buck had a pattern of soliciting vulnerable individuals, providing them with drugs, and engaging in exploitative behavior. He was sentenced to 30 years in federal prison. Yeah. They're protecting the Ed Bucks of the world. Progressive Democrats are. There's nothing to do with protecting the people they say they want to protect. So in response to this controversy, again, Carl DeMaio, kudos to Carl, introduced a companion bill, AB 450, which would mandate felony charges for any solicitation of minors under 18 with no exceptions for age proximity. So now here's Democrats. You're just using this for political game, man. We just want to protect the blacks and the Latinos because they're too stupid to protect themselves. That's all we want to do. Okay, Ed Buck. They're not protecting anyone but their own. And damn right, this should be a major issue ahead of the 2026 elections. If you know it's your representative that is supporting pedophilia, that is protecting their friends, allies, donors, and Ed Buck, I use as an example. I don't know who is protecting that or whom they're protecting, but Ed Buck, whoo, don't tell me it's not out there and does not happen. So hell yeah, this should be used, not for political gain, but to inform the public so they know who they're voting for. And why do I say this? Oye, mi Latinos. I remember in Riverside, a group going out. I was told this story. A lot of first-generation Latinos or immigrants that had come here, they thought these progressive Democrats were conservatives, were pro-life, because they weren't paying attention. I thought they did. Yes, sign that paper, Republican. Sheriff Cooper, meanwhile, has launched a public awareness campaign partnering with local nonprofits to educate communities about the signs of sex trafficking. It's reported a 20% increase in tips. So the saga of AB 379 underscores the complex intersection of child protection and criminal justice reform in California, with lawmakers, law enforcement, and advocacy groups deeply divided on the best path forward. Bull! That's what my notes said. Damn you, producer. What the hell? No, it's a small minority of Democrats in power that are blocking what the majority of Californians want and demand. Why? They're protecting, in my opinion, the Ed Bucks of the world. Once again, Ed Buck, a political donor who was convicted for drug-related crimes that led to the death of two black men in his West Hollywood apartment. Buck had a pattern of soliciting vulnerable individuals, providing them with drugs, and engaging in exploitative behavior. He was sentenced to 30 years in federal prison for his actions. Had been me, old Buck, you would have gotten the just in return done to you. It's ironic because I watch Bosch, or used to watch Bosch. Great series. If you have Amazon, check out Bosch. Then they spun it off the Bosch Legacy for three. I think 7 seasons is Bosch, then 3 seasons is Bosch Legacy. The final season of Bosch Legacy had this guy. It was Ed Buck. They had to have taken the Ed Buck story. This is who I believe they're protecting. As the bill awaits further deliberations and new legislation emerges, the voices of survivors and the urgent need to combat sex trafficking supposedly remains at the heart of this contentious debate. For Republicans, conservatives, and everyday common sense people, yes, it does. But not for progressive Democrats who want to protect the who? Ed Bucks of the world. I look at this as a powerful moment in our history to usurp the 2/3 Democrat control. Conservatives can finally make a dent here. Will they? Will the California Republican Party use this important weapon to educate Californians so they know what they're voting for? Those who want to protect Ed Buck and those who actually want to protect them? We need to unite with the Sheriff Coopers of the world, and we need to do what's right. As adults, we have a responsibility to look to the next generation and make sure they have a proper world to live in and they're taken care of so they can survive it long enough to grow into strong, mature adults who can make competent decisions. Justice or closure, Ashley Babbitt's family settles in January 6th Capitol riot case. Kudos to the Times of San Diego. I love that site. It leans left, but it gives good information. I'm able to stay on top of all California news. Check it out. So there's a settlement announcement. So the U.S. government has reached a settlement with the family of Ashley Babbitt, a San Diego resident, which is why this story is in the news. She is a San Diego resident and Trump supporter who was murdered during the January 6, 2021 Capitol attack. That's my wording, murdered. She was killed. But in my eyes, she was murdered. She was an Air Force veteran, served her country, only to be murdered by an American, a bad dude. U.S. Capitol Police Lieutenant Michael Byrd murdered her, in my opinion, while attempting to breach a barricaded door in the Capitol. The settlement marks a significant development in a case. This case has drawn a lot of attention because she was innocent and unarmed. And obviously because the J6 Capitol riot. And just for word for the wise, why do I know that was a hoax, a big put on? Well, once we saw the film, just people walking around, cops letting them in. All the material from the J6 committee was destroyed, which was against their rules. And they were all pardoned. The J6 committee, that is. You can't make this stuff up, how corrupt our government is. Then you had the TDSers. No, William, that was a takeover of our government. Really? People walking around the Capitol, that's going to sit there and usurp and take over our government? You stupid morons. Y'all want to see a revolution? Go to any third world country. At the wrong time, wrong place. Go to Chile in the 70s. Hell, there were riots in Panama when they were right during when the U.S. invaded. Y'all want to see some real crap? Go to Africa. Tunisia. The Mideast with all the bombs. That's what you call true rioting. BLM riots. Occupy Washington. More violence there than there with a J6. Enough with your stupid nonsense. So, again, Ashley Babbitt, she was 35. She was trying to climb through a broken window of a barricaded door. You know, there's a thing, too. The ends must justify the means in terms of the violence. She wasn't being seen as a violent in that moment. He just shot her. Babbitt's estate, represented by her husband, Aaron, filed a $35 million wrongful death lawsuit. It was a just lawsuit in 2024, properly alleging negligence by the officer who shot her. And of course, the internal investigation by the U.S. Capitol Police in 2021 cleared the officer of wrongdoing. Of course it did. So we talk about corrupt cops. We all know there are corrupt cops. There are corrupt departments who will cover it up. Case in point, the U.S. Capitol Police, corrupt as corrupt can be. Then, after he got pushed back, oh, it's because I'm black. No, it's because you murdered a woman, in my opinion. Allegedly. I say murdered, others say killed. It's not tomato, tomato. There's a difference. Michael Byrd is his name. Paraded around like a hero. It's a piece of garbage. He told NBC News that he received death threats and racist attacks. Really? Really? I don't believe you, for one thing. Two, what ever happened to that? You know, if all this was true, as they say, why have there been over 400 race hoaxes? There was just another race hoax a couple weeks ago, the one before that. Why do you have to make things up, people? Why do liberals have to make things up? Because they're lying. We have literally eradicated white supremacy in this country. Are there outliers out there? Yes. Do you see them on social media? Yes. But there's more racism from minority groups than there has been from white Americans in the last 50, 60 years since the civil rights movement. Why? Because when there was a white supremacist, we all knew what we had to do. Shun that person from society. Didn't have time for that. I have relatives who are black, relatives who are white, relatives who are Asian. I run the whole gamut. I have no expectations of somebody based off their color or culture. I have expectations based off their character. You know, MLK type stuff. This guy, in my eyes, is a murderer. The law may say differently, but that's what he is in my eyes. He pulled the race car because he knew he didn't have a leg to stand on. Unarmed woman. NBC gave him the platform to defend his bigoted actions. They used his race to push back. You can't criticize him. Enough of that nonsense. Yo soy Latino. My family runs a gamut. I've had it with that crap. So the settlement was announced during a court hearing in this past last week with attorneys for both the DOJ and Babbitt's estate, confirming an agreement in principle, though no specific details were disclosed. Oh, she got the full $35 million, or he got the full $35 million. I hope he can take that $35 million, the person he sued. That pathetic excuse of a human being, Michael Byrd. And for the record, as y'all already know, Trump pardoned all the J6ers, as he should have. These people never got... You know, these Democrats, these Green Parties, Libertarians, all these TDSers. We need due process for somebody who's already been proven to be an MS-13. Due process. Why? Because I hate Trump. Oh, what about the J6ers? Some of them were 2-3 years without seeing any process. Well, not my problem. This settlement, Ashley Babbitt's settlement, closes a chapter in the legal aftermath of the January 6th Capitol attack, raising questions about accountability and the government's stance on the riot. We still don't know a lot about it, but most of us believe it's a cover-up, Ray Epps. This reflects ongoing tensions over how the events of that day are addressed legally and politically, as well as the ignoring of the truth, which is the real reason why there are tensions. All right. Counting votes, racing time. Daryl Issa's push for a federal fix to California's election delay. Daryl Issa's my man. I actually did a debate. Had a debate with him, Brian Jones, Carl DeMaio, and Campanajar. I can't remember his name. He's a Democrat. Issa ended up winning that, obviously. He'll be retiring soon, so there'll be a fight for that. I'm sure Carl DeMaio is going to try to jump in there. I think that's where he may hit a brick wall. So what's the issue here? California's slow vote counting process is drawn. It says bipartisan bullcrap. It's drawn Republican concern. Why? We go to bed with Republicans leading by thousands of votes. We wake up and lo and behold, 6 weeks later, they squeezed out just enough votes to squeak out a win. There's a reason we have mail-in ballots. It's the easiest way for voter fraud to happen. And never forget this. Never forget this. Once a vote is in the system, they won't pull it out because they can't pull it out because they don't know who the person voted for. In Michigan, maybe it was Massachusetts, Michigan, I want to say, they arrested a Chinese nationalist who voted in our presidential election. He says he voted Democrat. But when asked how can they pull that vote out, they go, no, it's in the system. So I was told by Jamie Miller, GOP strategist who was involved in the Florida recount back in 2000, that they eventually realized Democrats were just buying time to get the votes in the system, because once the votes were in the system, they couldn't pull it out. And y'all may not remember, this was a scene of an old man, glasses bald. Well, he didn't vote for president, but he voted for vice president, or not vice president, senator and some other Democrat. So he meant the vote for Al Gore. So we're going to count it as an Al Gore vote. And they put it in there. Now, they could dispute it, but once it was in the system, how are you going to pull it out? So they knew, the Republicans at that time, they had to stop the count. And luckily, the Supreme Court overruled a leftist, bigoted Florida Supreme Court, much like our own Supreme Court here in California. But he's the one who taught me that, William, once the vote is in there, they can't pull it out. So that's the whole issue. They count these votes, they get them in there, boom. And that's what the slow vote counting does, all these mail-in ballots. And are they really mail-in, or are they coming from people with boxes from their homes writing in names? And we have DMV auto registration of illegals. They were busted. Oops. It's corrupt. So lawmakers are pushing for reforms to address the delays. And the reason there's delays is they have to figure out, okay, he's 3,000 down. We've got to find 3,000 ballots. That's how voter fraud works. A few cycles ago, they had a Republican one. She went in for her, what do they call it, orientation. And a couple of weeks later, oh, you didn't win, you lost. She won. That's why it's such a slim margin in the House. I think we would have a 20-30 seat margin in the House if we didn't have voter fraud, especially here in California. There's 5-6 seats right there. California's vote counting process is notoriously slow because of mail-ins and because Republicans tend to be leading, so they have to find the votes. That's me saying that. Republican Representative Jay Obernolte introduced legislation requiring all states, including California, to report 90% of the ballots within 72 hours after Election Day. And that's been done in the past. So these people say we can't do that. Then get back the pencil and paper, one day voting, and boom, boom, boom. See, the more technology we have, the easier it is to create voter fraud. Pencil and paper, day of, voter ID, that solves 90% of the problem. It started in Minnesota with a judge allowing, oh yeah, we found these ballots here. Somebody had left them in their trunk in the parking lot, and we just got to find a progressive judge. That's how Al Franken became senator. He didn't win a fair election that first time around. Smaller states like Delaware, Vermont, and South Dakota have certification deadlines within days. France, the country, does it in a day. Taiwan, in a day, a couple of days, they get it done in a few days at most. So why can't we? Well, guess what? They use pencil and paper. So Democrat Assembly Member Mark Berman says he's pursuing a state-level fix in the California legislature, requiring most votes to be counted within 10 days after Election Day. We should not accept that. It should be within 48 hours. All those votes need to come in. We are saying, oh, every vote should be counted. No, it's a privilege to vote. You vote on Election Day. If you're in the military or you continually go overseas for business, then you get the right for a mail-in. Outside of that, bring your ass to the damn voting poll. Simple as that. Oh, William, you're so cruel. You have no compassion. Are you kidding me? I got to work that day. They got to let you go to go vote. What they need to do is figure a way around that. And none of this online voting they want to do. Really? So Daryl Issa clarified that the federal bill does not aim to restrict voting activities, but establish a cutoff. Sounds fair to me. Kevin Kiley, up and coming representative, is a former assembly member too, expressed skepticism about the California legislature's ability to address the issue swiftly. You think? These guys are fighting to allow pedophilia to happen. And the solicitation of kids under 6-18. They're going to even think of wanting to fix this. And Ro Khanna, Ro's the guy who goes on all the talk shows. You know, I agree with you. I agree with you. Oh, you got a good one. I am the common sense Democrat. Then cha-ching, Democrat all the way down when he gets back in Congress. He's a bum too. So Doug LaMoffa says they really slowed it down. But he's concerned about federal intervention, citing the constitutional role of states. Well, if the Constitution, if the federal states fail to do their jobs, I think the feds have a right to come in because there are federal elections involved. Then hold the local elections on a separate day. And I guarantee you, you'll see the corruption. You'll see all these big wins for Democrats when it's not a federal election day and the federal election is done nice and neat and pretty. And of course, an unnamed Democrat argued that the slow counting is not an issue. I likes it. We go down losing and not up. We come out winners. Yay! What's not to like? Everything I've seen suggests they count them. You idiot. Shut the bleep. This is why, it's probably why he said I want to be anonymous, because I know I'm a moron. So the push for faster vote counting in California, now that reflects a broader concern about election integrity to avoid voter fraud, which most Californians believe is happening. There is no public confidence in the democratic process unless you're a Democrat who's hardcore, keeps winning and winning and winning. So whether through the state or federal action, addressing these delays remain a priority for the people concerned because lawmakers are looking the other way. There you have it. Before we get to the Cali Blitz, I hope you enjoyed it. What'd you learn? You learn that Democrats are wanting to allow the solicitation of 18 and younger, 18 to 16 year olds. Ed Buck, those are the kind of people they're protecting. Ashley Babbitt, the family's finally getting some form of justice. And Daryl Issa wants to speed up the counting because we all know voter fraud is baked in. Let's move on to the Cali Blitz, my friends. And that is what, I guess, is a lightning round. Arrest made in 1976 cold case murder. I love these type of shows. A lot of times there's some DNA or they get a break in the case. Well, there was a San Diego police arrested a suspect in the 1976 murder of Raymond Pratt. But the motive remains unclear even after an investigation. We, as civilians, we're going to have to wait a bit longer to find out all the details. But last week, John Joseph Feifel, 73 years old. I had to do some math here. So the San Diego police arrested a suspect in the 1976 murder. They arrested John Joseph Feifel, 73 today. He would have been 24 years old. So he got to live his whole full life in essence. Hopefully he lives another 20 years and spends him behind bars if he's guilty. So they arrested him for the murder of 28-year-old Raymond Pratt, who was found stabbed to death in his Normal Heights apartment. Now, he lived upstairs, so it could have been a neighborly argument, a neighbor argument. We don't know. We have to find out. So it's good to see justice catch up. But as somebody who enjoys these murder-type mysteries, television shows, the whodunit, I want more. I want to know what happened, you know, how all this went down. I will bring you an update. Cali Blitz, number two, former San Diego mayor Bob Filner dies at 82. Bob Filner, San Diego's disgrace, former mayor, died, leaving a legacy overshadowed by his moral failings. Filner is a Democrat, so does that shock you? They project everything. He served as a U.S. Congressman for 20 years. He chaired the House Veterans Affairs Committee, resigned as San Diego's mayor in 2013. It's hard to believe it was that long ago. After sexual harassment allegations from multiple women, it led to guilty pleas for false false imprisonment and battery, and he died of leukemia, April 20th, in Costa Mesa, California. 82, led a long life. Filner's downfall exposes the rot of liberal elites who preach virtue while abusing power, proving conservatives' push for accountability and integrity in leadership is non-negotiable. But that said, God will judge him. Godspeed on your new journey, Bob. May God have mercy on you because you did some bad things here. Kelly Blitz number three, California to comply with ICE after early release plan exposed. Okay, so I talked about this last week. California plans to release illegal alien Oscar Eduardo Ortega Anguiano early. He was convicted of vehicular manslaughter, and after public outrage, he will be apprehended by ICE after he gets out and probably deported by El Salvador, I hope. He had multiple arrests. He had a rap sheet, long rap sheet. So this isn't a one-offer. But in this case, he's 43 years old, twice deported, illegal alien. He killed teenagers Ana Varfolomeva and Nikolai Osokin in a 2021 DUI crash on I-405 in Seal Beach, driving 100 miles per hour. He was drunk, sentenced to 10 years in 2023. They were going to parole him just 3 years later. Newsom's office, see, Newsom's running for president, so he's got to be the moderate. He confirmed that they will be coordinating with ICE to transfer Ortega Anguiano, who faces federal charges for illegal reentry following backlash from the victims' families and Republican officials like U.S. Attorney Bill Esely. Now, here's the problem. This is a big thing. If he lets him out, this is on Gavin's shoulders. He doesn't want that. Even if it wasn't, it could be portrayed as it was. So, of course, he's going to comply. So, Newsom's initial plan to free a dangerous illegal alien, it shows sanctuary policies prioritize criminals over American lives. But with the conservative pressure Newsom got, it ensured some form of justice here for Anya and Nikolai. Pressure. Democrats are good at it. We got to get better. San Diego Airport prepares for real ID enforcement. So what's interesting here is we've all known this is coming. I'm guilty of that. I don't have it. I'm supposed to be traveling in a month. So I've got to get on the ball and get that. But starting May 7th, the Department of Homeland Security will require real ID. So San Diego's got to beef up with more and more people to deal with the onslaught of screw-ups that's going to happen. You know, we're talking enhanced driver's license or passports. This is more Big Brother. We have enough forms of ID. We just need to ask for them. They ask for ID for you to get on the plane. They don't ask for the ID of an illegal to get on a plane. True. So maybe we just follow the law straight up for everybody. We have enough security. Can they improve the efficiency of their security? Yes, but we don't need another real ID. This is more Big Brother. If we didn't have any ID, real ID enforcement would be a critical step to secure our airports, but we've kind of secured them. We need to make them more efficient. We need to make TSA much more efficient instead of a bunch of bums. Adding more staff smells like government bloat. Streamline the process. Don't just throw bodies at the problem. Cali Blitz, number five. California public employees resist Newsom's return to office. Push. Okay. Believe this. California state workers are being backed by the unions. They're fighting Newsom's order to end remote work. They're trying to cling to the pandemic era approach. I don't need to come in. Oh, no. I'm good here. Look, enough studies have been done that and enough proof with people, hell, on social media exposing themselves. Oh, I'm sleeping in pajamas, taking a nap. Oh, hell, they had the meeting. They're working, socializing while they're supposed to be on a Zoom meeting. It doesn't work. How do I know? I was one of the first companies in the country to implement remote working back in the 90s when I started in the internet. I want to say one of the first, probably the first hundred, first few hundred, the first couple thousand, you know. But because I couldn't afford to have an office, it was an online business. I started with volunteers that eventually grew into paid employees. We had a remote workers. They were just strictly writers. That was it. They were never going to move up. It was who they were, freelance work. I'm okay with that. And then you don't pay them on a per hour basis. I paid them on a per article basis. But that volunteer group is where I hired my full-time people. And every full-time person had to come into work. They had to move to San Diego and they came into the office. It was that simple. Period. End of story. That's the only way it will work. But instead, Ted Toppin, political director of AFSCME. It's a local 2620. It's a union. They criticize the mandate, arguing remote work improves productivity and retention. It's a damn lie. It keeps retention because you get lazy people who won't quit. In-person work boosts collaboration despite union pushback, citing employee morale. They're going to have to come back to work. Newsom's order is a half measure, though. Public employees like Toppin's union cronies shouldn't dictate terms. And Newsom's like, okay, let's talk, see what we can, that's the best. No, bring their asses back. Taxpayers deserve full accountability, period. And we don't need to coddle bureaucrats dodging office. It's funny, the feds, you know, the people who were fighting the remote work and having to come in, they did, they came to work to protest outside their work so they wouldn't have to come to work. The irony. Number six, this one's a sore eye for everybody. California Homeowners Association bill fails to pass. A win for HOAs. So California bill to regulate homeowners associations was rejected, leaving their power unchecked. Assemblyman Matt Haney sought to mandate virtual HOA board meetings and disclose third-party contracts, but it was killed by the Assembly Housing and Community Development Committee after opposition from HOA board citing high compliance costs. Look, this bill was just meant to create transparency and address the complaints in California's 50,000 plus HOAs. We will never buy in an HOA again, ever. We were in an HOA one, and luckily it was a good one. It was decent. But man, critics argued HOAs are overreaching. There in the article I was researching, talking about HOA, a member stalking one family. I just want to make sure they're compliant. We need to stop, at least curb the HOA abuses like excessive fines or secretive governances. So while we champion limited government, HOAs often morph into mini dictatorships who are run by busybodies like Gladys Gravitz types. Look up Gladys Gravitz and you'll see what I'm talking about. People, those types, she in the HOA would be abusing power with impunity. And we must curb that overreach without bloated regulations and just ensure they stick to basics like maintenance, not Gestapo tactics, which is what they do. California's pension notepad crisis worsens with early retirement plans. So this is from the OC Register. It was an opinion piece. I found it fascinating. California's public pension system is spiraling towards collapse. We've all known that. Out of sight, out of mind, though. That's why you don't hear much about it in the media. It's worsened by plans again to entice early retirements and pay them more than the norm. CalPERS and CalSTRS face a $400 billion unfunded liability. Well, and the U.S. government, the feds aren't going to bail them out because once they see how bloated it is, once they see somebody who retired at $60,000 earning $300,000, $200,000, $300,000 out, no mas, they're going to say you're done. And that's where a lot of this $400 billion unfunded liability. Cal Fires is another one that's notorious for things like that. Police unions, all these people. And we love them. And we want to honor them, but they're gouging us. They're hiding behind, I'm a nurse, I'm a fireman, I'm a cop. Why you do this? Because we can't afford it, fool. So Assembly Bill 1328 proposed enhanced early retirement benefits for public employees, potentially adding billions to the debt, despite no funding plan. And Newsom's budget sidesteps pension reform. You don't have to include pensions in the budget. If not, this $56 billion deficit would probably be $450 billion. Lawmakers who are beholden to unions, they are ignoring this crisis and are leaving taxpayers on the hook. Taxpayers aren't going to be on the hook. Taxpayers are leaving. Pension costs outpace state revenue growth. So you're talking raising taxes. So boosting early retirement payouts while pensions bleed dry is liberal lunacy. Conservatives, we should be demanding fiscal discipline, not union handouts that are bankrupting California's future. Final Cali Blitz take. California's Medicaid program funds housing amid financial strain. Okay, so California's Medi-Cal program is misusing funds for housing while neglecting core health care needs. There's a $1.4 billion deficit Medi-Cal has spent in millions since 2022 on the Cal AIM initiative. Okay, so $1.4 billion deficit. They're spending millions to provide rental subsidies, supporting housing for about 3,000 homeless individuals, despite only 10% of eligible recipients benefiting. So how much of that money is getting lost to nonprofits who are using it for six-figure salaries? Traditional Medicaid covers services like doctor's visits, prescription drugs, and hospital care for low-income residents, not social programs like housing. My guy, Brian Jones, Senator, and says to diverse resources from patients needing medical treatment. You think? Yes, I do. So look, diverting Medicaid funds from essential health care like cancer treatments or emergency surgeries for housing experiments is a liberal boondoggle, and it betrays the taxpayers and patients of Medi-Cal for feel-good policies. Well, there you have it. From shooting kids to honoring patriots like Ashley Babbitt and ensuring our votes aren't tampered with, today's episode shows California's desperate need for conservative values to restore order. But that can't happen without your help. Will the Golden State wake up before it's too late? You tell me, my friends. Before I go, do not forget, bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. Grumblingsmedia.com. You can also find this podcast along with my Fired Up podcast, which is national issues, at grumblingsmedia.com and YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, y Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. Thanks for tuning in. Stay fired up, my friends. Keep your heads on a swivel because the Democrats are coming at us from every angle, and fight the good fight. Until next week, I am William Del Pilar for Fired Up California, and I bid you adieu.